Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Facility and Property Management Secrets Radio. I'm your host, Javier Lozano Jr. with CMI Mechanical, and I'm here to bring you another podcast that I'm trying to do on a regular basis, but it just depends on how we get things lined up. I typically have hosts on these podcasts, and so today I thought I would do something a little different. I wanted to do a podcast about ways to improve as a facility manager, okay? And so this is going to be interesting because of how the information is going to be coming. It's going to be coming from a different angle. It's not going to be what you're probably accustomed to. But today what I wanted to kind of discuss is the best facility managers think like an entrepreneur, like a business person, all right, a person that owns their own company. And so what I want to do is I want to kind of first say why that's kind of relevant and important, all right? Why do you want to see yourself as an entrepreneur? Why do you want to see yourself as someone that is running a business? Because in reality, you are, all right? What I want you kind of get your mind wrapped around is that if you're a facility manager or a property manager, you have several locations that you're in charge of, okay? It could be 100, it could be 200, it could be a region, it could be a few states. Whatever the case is, you have several things that you've got to kind of have to manage. And so with that said, you've got a lot of things to kind of deal with, everything from, you know, obviously your heating and cooling, to windows, to asphalt, to parking, to lighting, to all of those other things. And you have staff that you have to also help you with some of these things, because you can't manage it all. You probably have a team of other people that are like facility coordinators or assistants and that sort of stuff. So in essence, you kind of want to see yourself as an entrepreneur, because you got budgets, you got money to look at to kind of balance, you've got other things that you're managing here. All of this stuff, you have expenses, everything, okay? And so before I get any deeper, I want to kind of give you a little bit more about my background, because you're probably wondering, what do you know about entrepreneurship, or what do you know about facility management, all right? So let me give you my background really quick. I'll be really fast. So I basically operated for the past 11 years, I operated a multi-six-figure business, okay? And I recently just sold it in 2018 for a good earning, okay? And so essentially I created a lot of systems that allowed me to really make my business just flow, okay? And what I mean by this is that I was able to just look at stuff and then say, okay, how can I duplicate this? How can I duplicate the decision process and make this a lot easier when it comes to making decisions? And so I created systems for curriculum. So I literally had a class schedule, okay? Because I taught in martial arts and personal training studio. That was my business. And I had a class schedule of 12 months, all pre-written out, okay? And everyone knew what to do every single day of the week, what to teach at certain times and segments of that time period. So a class was 45 minutes long, and they would know what to do for 3 minutes, you know, to warm up, and 5 minutes to do this, and then 6 minutes to work on that. And it was all just set up. Did the same thing with my marketing plans, all right? I mapped out 6 to 12 weeks in advance of what I was going to be working on for campaigns and what we were going to go after and what kind of business we're going to chase. Sales systems, same thing. Anyone that came into my business, they would basically be going through a PowerPoint presentation, you know? So if someone called or if someone was a lead, we pre-qualified them with certain types of questions, and then we set appointments. And during that appointment, we did the same presentation over and over again. It was all duplicatable. It was easy for me to just essentially say, this is what works, and this is what you're going to do to pass it on, okay? And then from there, we did same thing with operations, anything from cleaning to handling customer inquiries to anything like that. Operationally, it was all the same. And so essentially, you know, this made my business work, like run like clockwork, all right? And this was just one location, but I needed systems in order for me to grow and scale, all right? And so in 2018, I decided to sell my business, but what sold the business wasn't because of me. It was because the systems I implemented that were duplicatable. And so those systems allowed me to put a value on that business. Now, again, you're probably thinking, what does this have to do with facility management? A lot, actually, and almost everything. You want to start designing your facilities, if you will, like what comes into systems, because things are going to be looking the same, all right? So anyways, when I exited the the business, I kind of did a little bit of stuff on my side. And then I eventually started saying, you know what, I want to work back into corporate America, if you will. So I got a job working as the National Director of Business Development for CMI Mechanical. That's what I've been doing for the past almost 12 months now. And that was back in February of 2019. So what I've done here at CMI Mechanical is essentially create systems that are duplicatable as well too. And I'm not going to go into detail about all the things that I've done, but to the point where it's automated and I get to focus on other things that are more important on getting more business and winning. And so that's kind of what I want, you know, people to kind of see. Like, I created basically email automation. I created content creation automation. So emails that are going out once a week automatically. Okay. I've got people that are writing blog posts for us once a week automatically. Okay. I do podcasting. All right. And this stuff is all systemized to the point where it's all automatic as well too. We do videos, and then the sales process is the same thing. Like, I'm getting to a point where we're systemizing the sales process, and we'll be creating a PowerPoint presentation to help with that sales process as well too. All systems. And so when you get to a point where you're operating your business in systems, that's where the duplication is created and you can manage more and you can scale up. And that is the key to running a business. That is the key to being a facility manager or property manager, is understanding that there are certain buckets that are the same thing. Like, if you typically get these types of work orders for X and you handle it the same way, that becomes a system, and you should document that. And I'll go over all that kind of stuff as well too in just a bit. I have all this written on my screen over here. That's why I keep looking over here. But my point being here is that I want people to understand the importance of creating systems. And this is going to help you scale and handle a larger amount of volume, if you will. And if you have a team of you, if you're fortunate to have some people that work underneath of you, or if you just have one. And if it's just you, that's okay too, because you still need systems so that whenever you go to your boss and say, hey, I'm getting overwhelmed with this, but I've designed this system that this is what happens. Can we have someone that manages this piece of the business? And they're probably gonna say, yeah, actually that makes sense. So I want you to kind of see things a little differently and understand that I'm trying to help you guys that are facility managers and property managers to see things as a business owner, okay? So, facility managers, you guys need to start thinking like an entrepreneur, because what it does is that your region of stores are basically, you know, is your business. So like I said earlier, you might have 100 stores, you might have 150 stores, you might have 20 or 10, but those are your businesses, okay? Then what you want to do is you want to look at your employees as vendors, okay? And so you're like, wait, what? So your region of stores, it's your business. Employees are kind of like vendors. You must hire and fire employees daily, weekly, monthly, okay? And so your vendors, you know, like when you – and so I kind of have that backwards. I'm sorry. I just looked at this. Your vendors are kind of like employees. That's what I meant to say. So my apologies. Your vendors are kind of like your employees. So what I mean by this is that you're going to hire and fire employees as normal, okay? That just happens. Vendors are the same way. So sometimes some people get all caught up and all like, well, I had this really good vendor and they screwed me. You know what? When you have employees, they screw you as well too. Okay. You can have very, very good employees that love you and will do a lot of good work for you and help you. And then other way around is you'll have some that won't. All right. Vendors are no different. And so you need to have an ongoing list of vendors, if you will, that are kind of cycling in. You should have some that you're really keen on, that like, all right, I'll give them this kind of business because they are very dependable on this. They've been loyal to me for the past X amount of time, you know, year, 2 years, et cetera. And then you might have some new ones that are coming in. You're like, you know what? I'm going to give you a shot because I do need some help in this area. So your vendors should be looked at as employees. And so when you look at it that way, it almost makes the hiring and firing process just business, okay? Because at the end of the day, when you're running a business, you need employees to grow, to scale, to handle operations, that sort of stuff. If someone doesn't meet certain expectations and needs and criterias, you just need to terminate them. You need to give them like, hey, I need you to be doing this, this, and this. If you don't do this, then we're going to have a discussion in 6 months or in 3 months or in 2 months or whatever it is. That's how you should be handling your vendors, right? Now, who are your customers? Now, this is a little different. Your customers are actual customers, okay? People that go in to buy services or products of whatever that business that you work for, okay? But your other customers are store managers or building owners, or not building owners, but, you know, people that are renting out that space, you know, for property management. Those types of people are going to be your customers or employees of the actual store. So essentially the store manager's employees. Those are essentially your customers, all right? So your actual customers that go in there to buy services and products, or if someone is leasing out space for property, it's those people that are coming in constantly. Those are your customers. Also, it's the store managers or the business owner that is leasing out space for your property. And then obviously employees of that store, all right? Those are gonna be your customers. You need to do everything you can to satisfy these people, okay? That is from making the property look clean, making sure that, you know, that the lighting is correct, that the HVAC is working correctly, that the heating is you know, not too hot or too cold, that the floorings are clean, you know, all the bathrooms are clean, all that stuff, because it's about the customer experience. You know, we're getting into this thing that the customer isn't experiencing something that's fun, they're going to move on somewhere else, okay? Now, you also have a budget to maintain, okay? And that budget can be whatever the, you know, your CFO or someone above you kind of creates. Sometimes it's you, all right? But that budget, you kind of use that as a guiding point, all right? And so whenever you have expenditures on replacements or hiring vendors or whatever, that comes out of your budget. And so you're going to have to maintain that budget. And in the business world, we call that a P&L, profits and loss, okay? Now, I know that you guys aren't getting profits, but think of your budget. Like if you have like a $1 million budget, for instance, that is your profit. And so you need to balance that. So when I was balancing my profits and losses, my P&Ls, I would always see what was coming in. Then I would see what was going out. Everything from like my rent to paying employees, to paying myself, to paying the internet, to paying the electricity. And I would have to manage that. And I would have to stay basically keeping my profits higher than my expenditures, okay? And so that's kind of how you want to manage that. It's the same thing, all right? You know, when you have a budget, that $1 million budget or that $2 million or $14 million, and then you've got to kind of start saying, okay, I'm going to spread this out accordingly to each of my locations by X amount. If some locations are getting, you know, have newer equipment or newer this or newer that, I probably don't need as much because this has already been installed. This is a capital expense, and you move that over. Maybe you start pushing some other budget to another location because it's an older location. My point being is that you still have to, you have to balance a book. Okay. Again, thinking like an entrepreneur, you got to see what's coming in. So you have your overall, and then you got to see where your expenses are and where the most money is being spent and how can you cut costs in those areas. Not necessarily ask for cheaper rates. Figure out, do I need to just simply replace this because we're putting too much money into this? Does that sort of make sense? Those sort of things. Now, the next thing is that your decisions, they can affect the store revenue as well too. So let's say that HVAC, the rooftop unit goes out. Revenue can go down because if it's too hot in there, customers aren't going to want to go shop. Employees are going to be like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to get a job down the street because they have, you know, better, you know, cooling going on. Say if you have poor lighting, all right, same idea. Your poor lighting's outside in the parking lot. That's not good, all right? Signage is out. That's not good. That's going to make revenue going down. So your goal is to add more revenue into that location. So if you're able to see what the revenue is for those locations, that is huge. And see how you can contribute to those things, okay, to make sure that the experience for the customer is enjoyable, that they want to go back and shop again. And get with your store managers. Those are your, like, those are the people that are going to make the experience even better. Like, get with them and come up with strategies at times. Whether that's, you know, talking with them, you know, once a quarter, whatever it is. But that's the thing, is that you want to understand that you're basically an entrepreneur. You're running your own business, if you will. Okay. So, you know, I kind of say, like, you're the whole damn show. I remember when I first opened my business in 2008, at the height of the recession, okay, it basically, I was marketing, I was sales, I was operations, I was HR, I was recruitment, I was cleaning toilets and cleaning floors, I was everything. I was the entire show, and that's hard. That is not easy to do. And so what you want to start thinking about is, how can I basically create systems to delegate and have someone else do this and have someone else do that? And then you're like, well, then what am I going to do? You're the owner. You're the manager. You're in charge of the show. And so you're looking to see if things are getting done right. You're evaluating your employees, which is your vendors. You're evaluating, you know, your expenses. You're evaluating what, you know, what's increasing in revenue, you know, for those locations, those sort of things. Now, what I want to kind of go into next is that, what is your most valuable asset? And I say this all the time. My most valuable asset for me is my time, okay? If someone is stealing my time, you stole literally from me. And so you want to stop basically wasting your time on things that don't need to be addressed. So stop spending time scrubbing the internet, finding vendors. That's like, I've heard people say this in conversations when I'm trying to win business. It's like, well, I spent, 5 days, going through, the Better Business Bureau, going through the Secretary of State locations and finding vendors for certain stuff. And I finally got one. And I'm sitting there thinking in my head, I'm thinking, is that time really well spent just because you found one? Like, wouldn't it be better to maybe partner with a national company or a regional company to manage your problematic locations? Do you see what I'm trying to get to? Like, maybe you, and this is where some of us might split hairs, and that's fine, okay? If you're like, well, I only hire self-performers, let me explain something, okay? You're still going to deal with problems, okay? You're always going to deal with problems. You're basically dealing with employees, all right? So if I'm a general contractor, I may not have electricians that are my employees, but I'll sub it out. But just because I'm watching them doesn't mean that they're going to do a better job. They might do a horrible job, and it could be just that person. So what I'm trying to get to, guys, is that sometimes spending hours or days or weeks looking, find like you physically finding vendors may not be the best solution. Sometimes the best solution is to actually go with a regional regional provider or a national provider for whatever your problematic areas are, and test them like any other employee. See what they do. Give them 90 days. Be like, hey, you know what? I want this to work out, but I'm going to give you 90 days. And if this works out after 90 days, great. And if it doesn't, we're moving on. And that's it. That's as simple as that. And if you say, well, it's just so problematic to do that. As a business owner, I had to hire and fire employees all the time. That's part of being a business owner, is you have to basically deal with employees. Your vendors are your employees, man. Like, you've got to get that. You are going to be hiring and firing vendors at all times for whatever your reasons are and whatever your standards are. That is part of the game. And to be honest, that should be good, because that means that you're getting rid of the ones that aren't going to fit your business model, and you're keeping the ones that are going to fit your business model. So instead of spending so much time like scrubbing the internet, essentially, to find vendors for HVAC, for flooring, look at where you can basically say, okay, I'm going to give these guys a region and I'm going to test them out and see how they do. That's it. It's simple as that. If they fail, fire them. If not, great, that's fine. They succeed, give them more work. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, when I have employees and they're doing an awesome job, guess what I do? I give them more stuff to do, and I also increase their pay. I'm not saying you have to pay the vendors more, but what I'm saying is that you give them more work, they're going to start doing more work for you. They're going to be more proud. They've earned something. Does that make sense? So there's a software that I'm kind of afraid to tell you guys. This is really, really important. There's a software out there that I use to find affiliate partners to work with CMI Mechanical. And I've used this in other industries for me to find customers whenever I was looking for customers and other stuff, okay? The software is called D7 Lead Finder. And the product costs like $25 a month. And you get like basically the ability to do searches on industry and city. So this is what I mean. Let's say that you're looking for a mechanical contractor, HVAC, in Chicago, all right? In D7 Lead Finder, literally D, number 7, Lead Finder. Just Google it, okay? I can just go into their software. I can type in HVAC, Chicago, and then it's going to be give me a whole list of like 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 HVAC companies. And then you're like, I don't want to call all of them. Yeah, no kidding. Which is why you want to have a system, okay? But you can email all of them and be like, hey, I'm actually shopping around for someone that is able to handle some of my problematic areas in Chicago. And you're one of the companies that I found. I'd love to have a conversation with you, you know, or research them. But what I'm getting to is that that's one way of not having to literally scrub the internet to find the list, okay? I use this and it's amazing. It's a great tool to use to help you find vendors. You can do the same thing with lighting. You can do any industry that you're looking for your facilities, okay? Or your property, all right? Another tool that I use, and this is huge, and I actually use it whenever I'm out there trying to sell and get inquiries, is I use this thing called Calendly, okay? It's Calendly.com, Calendly.com. It's an online calendar and it syncs with Google and it syncs with Outlook. And so I use it to create appointments. So if I say, hey, take a look at my calendar, here's my link to my online calendar, find a time that works for you. I run my day on the calendar all the time. And you as a facility manager should be doing the same thing. You as a property manager should be doing the same thing. So if you're walking properties, you should block out that time so that when someone tries to set an appointment with you to talk about whatever services or whatever that you're looking for, they can't talk to you at those times because you're looking at properties. You're looking at facilities. Does that make sense? You need to be operating your business, okay, because it is your business on a calendar. This allows you to manage your time better. Your time is your most valuable asset, like we said at the very beginning. Don't waste it. And so the calendar is going to allow you to just really schedule appointments accordingly, okay? So if you're looking at vendors to hire, be like, hey, I look at my online calendar, find a time that works for you, that's available, and we can set up a time to talk. But more importantly, if a time is scheduled, show up, okay? I cannot tell you how many times for myself that I have actually scheduled an appointment with a facility or property manager, all right? And we scheduled it, we both mutually agreed, and then they don't show up. That's frustrating on my end. It's disrespectful is what it is. And you might be thinking, well, I have fires to put out and I'm busy and I'm working, I'm doing this. Yes, so do I, okay? I then don't, and for all you know, we could have been the perfect fit for your business, okay? I'll discount your business. And so you need to make sure that if you're to start running your business on a calendar, you live and die by that calendar as well too. Now, if you need to reschedule, that's different. Reschedule, okay? But be respectful of a person's time because if you want someone to respect your time, you need to respect their time as well too. Make sense? All right, so where I want to move on to next is I recommend that you schedule quarterly or like monthly, quarterly kind of meetings with your vendors. And again, it can go back to like, I don't have time for that. If you put it in a calendar, you will make time. But if you're like saying, well, it's just too much time to do that, then you're going to be complaining about saying that your vendors aren't doing well on this and the pricing is this and this is not good and that's not good. You'll be complaining. But if you schedule monthly and quarterly meetings and set expectations and expect them to show up to these meetings to discuss work orders, to discuss reviewing problematic sites, to review costs or invoices, anything that's been a success or a failure, like to schedule all those things, to discuss those things, that's huge because that gives feedback to your vendor. It is no different from an employee. You want to be giving your employees feedback. You want to be giving your employees a review on what they're doing well in, on what they need to improve on, on what you want to see next quarter, that sort of stuff. Does that make sense? By doing this and scheduling it out, it will make you more successful at managing your vendors. Okay? Again, you're small, you're basically a small business owner, kind of bigger than small, all right? But you're an entrepreneur. And set them up, because if you have these meetings and they don't meet these expectations, that's an easy way for you to cut the cord and go to the next person. Okay? You'd be like, listen, man, we had two meetings about this, all right? Two quarterly meetings, and I asked you to address it the first one, and you said you would, and you didn't address it on the second meeting, so therefore, I think we need to part ways because it's not working out. It makes it very easy because it's documented, and you move on to the next vendor. That's it. Again, you can't be complaining about hiring and firing vendors because they're employees, all right? That's how it works. So I hope this stuff is making sense so far.